Welcome to this week's edition of Focus Fridays here on WKLM. Focus Fridays is being brought to you by Hobbrins Insurance, Home Siding, Rohde's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays, and joining with me today is the Executive Director of the Viola Starksman Clinic, Mark Yoder. So thank you, Mark, for joining in with me today. I do appreciate it. We're glad to have you here.
Yeah, glad to be here.
And so you are the executive director, like we said, at Viola Starksman. How long have you been in that position?
So I've been in this position for about 2.5 years now.
And how did you come about becoming the executive director? Had you been with Viola Starksman, or how did that come to be?
So I've been working in the community doing primary care for about the last 10 years. And then around 3 years ago, I had actually applied to be the director of clinical operations here. And I was here for a period of time where we had an interim executive director. And then I had applied for the role, and then it just worked out so that I was able to take the position as the executive director and shape the clinic into what I thought that it could be.
And did you ever see yourself in a role like this, or did it just kind of happen that way?
It definitely just kind of happened. I definitely never thought that I'd be in an administrative role. And my role now is a hybrid role between administration and also clinical. So I am a licensed psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner and also a family nurse practitioner as well. So I still see patients throughout the week also to break up my administrative duties.
That's great that you have the opportunity like that. Lots of times when you get into that administrative role, it's strictly administrative.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I feel like sometimes it's two separate full-time jobs at times, so.
It has to be, because you're running it, but you're also, like, still. But that's got to help you be able to run it better, mm-hmm. still being in there doing things so you can see, oh, wait, this isn't working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is nice. So my patient days where I see patients, I can, you know, experience firsthand if there are any gaps or things that we need to improve on when delivering care, all that good stuff.
And so to be the executive director, did you need, obviously being nurse practitioner and all that, you have lots of accreditations and things. Did mm-hmm. you need anything specific to be the director?
So I had the clinical background already there. Mm-hmm. I do also have my doctorate in nursing practice with a focus on like leadership and management as well. So that was where that kind of tied into the new position that I took as the executive director. But definitely when you're, you know, trying to run a healthcare organization like this, you need to have a good balance between having the clinical background but then also having the leadership background too. And this position is the first truly leadership position that I've had.
And I'm sure with as long as you've been working in the field, mm-hmm. you've definitely had to have seen an adjustment on how things have worked when it comes to seeing patients and in both the clinical and in the mental health side. Mm-hmm. There's been so many changes in the last 6 years. I mean, 10, really, a lot of things. So
yeah,
it's had to have progressed a lot.
Yeah, I mean, especially with us, you know, we opened up, what, just over 30 years ago, and we were initially known as the Free Clinic. So we were volunteer run at that time, and volunteer nurses, volunteer physicians, and I believe that they were operating 2 days a week. And then the needs kept growing in the community, and in 2017 we became a rural health clinic, which then allowed us to start taking insurance as well. And then when I took over as the role of the executive director here, I was also previously already seen primary care patients in the area, so those patients were able to follow me here to receive their care as well. And really, that was one of the things that I did different, is also educate the public that if you do have insurance, you can come to our facility and receive top-notch quality care services as well, and that insured visit then helps us give out more charitable care. I always use the example that one insured visit can reimburse and allow us to then give out 4 free visits. So for example, prior to me taking over as this role, we typically gave out around 500,000 to 700,000 of charitable services per year. And in 2025, it was our record-breaking year. We gave out $2.1 million in charitable care services and around another $900,000 in our charitable pharmacy that we have here as well, where we take donated medications and give them out to the public for free.
But I didn't know about that part.
Yeah, so that's a big one that really has grown. So we have a volunteer pharmacist. Heidi from Heidi's Pharmacy comes once a week, and we take donated medications. She, as a licensed pharmacist, is able to go through them, and then we relabel them, and we can give them out to patients for free. So we've had, most recently, you know, we've had an influx of a lot of insulins, which are often expensive for diabetics, and we've been able to, you know, give people an entire year's worth of insulin at once to make sure that they have enough for their managing their diabetes, and that cost isn't an issue as well. But really, it does go hand in hand with the mental health growth also, because a lot of times those medications are expensive for patients. And that was where we saw the most of our growth in 2025. Our mental health services grew by about 220%.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a big year of growth.
Now, you guys, do you just take patients from Wayne and Holmes County, or is it more open than that?
So prior to 2026, our charitable care was only for Wayne and Holmes County, but then starting in 2026, we opened our charitable care to all counties, just so we weren't discriminating against any counties, and then also we take all insurances as well. So if for some reason we're out of network with the insurance plan, then we match in network pricing for our primary care and our mental health services.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, yeah. We've got so much more to learn about what you guys do here and all of the services. That is Mark Yoder. He's the executive director of the Viola Startzman Clinic. For WKLM's Focus Fridays, I'm Melissa Patrick. We are back here with the executive director of the Viola Startzman Clinic, Mark Yoder. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays, and we kind of got a little history lesson on you and how you got into this position, and a wee bit about, you know, how the clinic here and everything works. And there's a lot of things, like you mentioned in the first segment, that I didn't know that you guys had, and you guys have grown so much that I feel like maybe a lot of folks aren't up to date on all the things that you guys have and that you do, and maybe they're still kind of in your old couple day a week focus. So let's clear up some common things that have changed and adjusted or never were with the clinic. So you guys operate 5 days a week now?
Yes, so we're open 5 days a week in our medical building, and then our dental building is currently open 4 days a week, but they're looking at opening 5 days a week when our new dentists join at the end of the summer. So that's good news there.
And they are separate buildings.
Yes, they are separate buildings. So one of our biggest issues is a lot of people who are coming for their medical or mental health visits accidentally show up to the dental building, and then vice versa. But we do have 2 separate buildings in Worcester, and then we also have a pilot location in West Salem where we're there once a week, and also in Millersburg where we partnered with Anna Zhao, where we're located there once a week as well to help with primary care issues or mental health appointments, all of that stuff as well.
Well, obviously, I knew about the Millersburg location because you're right over the hill from mm-hmm. the radio station. We're like neighbors. But I didn't know you guys had one in West Salem as well.
Yeah. So we have one in West Salem. Carolyn Graham is the nurse practitioner who's there on Wednesdays. She's a native over there, and West Salem has a lot of care needs. They're doing pretty well over in that location, too. And that is a partnership with Community Action of Wayne and Medina, who help facilitate the building and all of that good stuff, too.
So the dental office is the building you guys started in, right?
Depending on how far you go back. So at one point we were in an even smaller volunteer-run building, but then the building that people mostly know us from is the dental building, so at 1874 Cleveland Road.
And just then past our, Dunkin' Donuts.
Yep. But then to confuse that, we have the building that's kind of across from Dunkin' Donuts, which is 1739 Cleveland Road, and that's where our mental health and primary care services are as well.
And that is what used to be the Women's Health Center of Cleveland Clinic.
Yes. So
you guys are a totally separate
thing? Totally separate.
You just took over the building.
Yes. Just took over the building there. And
you gave it a facelift.
Yes.
It's a whole new color.
Yeah, a whole new color, all that good stuff. And, you know, there are some misconceptions, too, about what we do here. You know, specifically in primary care, we do have a federal grant called Title 10, which allows for us to help patients with family planning. So it allows us to do discounted or free care if women need to come in for a women's health visit, have preventative screenings, their mammogram, their pap, STI screenings, and then also it helps us with providing birth control or contraceptives as well too. So a lot of times there are patients without insurance who are interested in an IUD, which or Nexplanon, which is a form of birth control that goes in your arm and can last for a number of years. And if they are having issues with coverage or getting that funded, we can give those out for free here as well.
Which is great, because those kind of appointments, for any women listening, you know, they're not cheap if you don't have insurance, and it's good to have that care and be checked on.
Yeah, I mean, we've had reports of patients who have paid upwards to $2,000 for a visit like that, for the device, all that, and then if their income qualifies them here, we've had them get it for completely free. So that's a big misconception too, is that, you know, as we started, we did start as a free clinic, but now we do accept all insurances, and we actually encourage people with insurance to come, because not everyone can donate, you know, monetary value to our charitable care. So another way that you can help is by coming and being seen with your insured visit, which then allows us to also provide some charitable care to individuals in need as well.
And what you kind of mentioned there a little bit without mentioning is, can you people donate as well, just to the clinic to help you guys operate?
Oh, absolutely. So that's a big part of how we operate, is donations and grants as well. We did start our first annual fundraising event last year for our 30th anniversary. We had an event at Greystone in Worcester, and we had over 300 attendees. So we are having another event this year, and the focus is on supporting mental health and community care. It is August 7th. We actually had to change that date because I believe the Holmes County Fair changed their week that they were doing it. So we, of course, wanted Holmes County people to be able to come and not interfere with that fair schedule. So we moved it to August 7th.
It got moved because the state fair.
Yep. So it's August 7th this year, our annual fundraising gala. And yeah, tickets are available either stopping by an office or online on our website, or I think we also have like a QR code on a lot of our flyers, stuff like that as well.
So it's a great way to help people who are less fortunate in funds, that be able to get the medical, the mental, the dental help that they need.
Absolutely. And you know, our clinic is unique in the fact that there's not really any other charitable options in the area when it comes to providing primary care, dental care, or mental health care as well. And another big thing is access to care. I don't know if you've tried calling around, but often to get in with a mental health provider, you're looking at 6+ months. And often, and even for primary care as a new patient, you're looking at a couple months. And one of the things that we do here is intentionally have enough provider coverage that we're able to get new patient visits in within the week, sometimes even same day.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
If only people could see my face through this whole conversation.
Yeah, especially behavioral health. You know, that stems from when I was a new grad starting in the area. What was this, 10, 11 years ago? And I was primary care only at that time. I was always told, like, oh, don't worry about mental health. Just refer them to a psychiatrist in the area and they'll get taken care of. well, here I was as a new grad managing complex mental health conditions like bipolar, schizophrenia, major depressive disorder, OCD, ADHD, and I wasn't adequately trained, but there was no other providers in the area, or the providers that were in the area were booked out 6 to 12 months. So that was where, you know, I told myself, hey, I need to be trained better. So that was where I went back to school for an additional 3 years and got my and got my psychiatric certification so that I could also take better, more holistic care of patients from the primary care aspect and also the mental health aspect as well.
Well, a lot of that tags together.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I always say primary care and mental health should never be operating in separate silos because they go hand in hand. You know, there are a lot of primary care issues that will overrun into mental health and vice versa as well.
Well, we've got so much more to learn here about the Viola Startzman Clinic. We'll be back with more with Executive Director Mark Yoder. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. We are getting back to our conversation here with Executive Director Mark Yoder from the Viola Startzman Clinic. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. And in the last segment, we were talking about some of the misconceptions that people have, or things they maybe, some fun facts they maybe didn't know about you. I'm learning just like everybody listening here. But because your main branch is in Worcester, a lot of times people think that you're only a Wayne County thing or only a Worcester thing, and you're not. You guys are, you've got your satellite branches, you've got the one day a week in Millersburg, but people can come to Worcester and use the services that you guys have here. It's not just a Wayne County thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, Holmes County is our second largest county that uses our services. So in 2025, out of our charitable care, Holmes County residents made up for a little over $200,000 of
so
free care.
So people are getting it.
Yeah. So, you know, they're making the trip up to Worcester mainly, but, you know, because we have those satellite offices as well, but, you know, Worcester's not too far of a drive, and we're able to sometimes do a little bit more at the Worcester office too. That's where we have our pharmacy, and, you know, I bring up a prime example. I recently had a Holmes County patient who had no insurance and was struggling with their insulin. You know, the patient was a type 1 diabetic that had to have insulin, and they were paying $1,500 a month for their insulin, their supplies, and didn't know that we're a drug repository here where we have a pharmacy and we're able to give out meds for free. So I was able to supply that Holmes County resident with an entire year's worth of insulin, saving them over $1,000 a month that they were paying there. And that's why I think getting the word out that this is a resource that's really available to Holmes County as well, it's something that we've been here for 30 years, and we've primarily targeted Wayne and Holmes, but we're here to stay and continue giving high-quality care to the community.
You guys were kind of a low-key thing for a lot of the beginning parts of it, because you were free, so you were just kind of operating on a few days, but now you guys are a huge pillar in both the Wayne and Holmes County communities, offering things that nobody else is offering.
Yeah. So we are actually designated as a rural health clinic right now, which makes sense since we serve mainly Wayne and Holmes County. We are looking into becoming a federally qualified health center in the future, which would open us up to more funding. One of the biggest questions that I get is, well, how do you guys operate? You know, we're up to almost 50 staff now. How do you pay your staff? How do you keep your lights on? And, you know, before, the answer was always, well, we're heavily funded on, you know, donations and grants, and there's just a very slim area of patient care revenue reimbursement from insurance. And unfortunately, since COVID, donations have been going down. Certain grants have been getting cut as well. So that's where, when I took over as this role, I was like, what can we do to make things more sustainable? And that's where encouraging patients with insurance to come get their visits. And that helps then also us continue to give out charitable care so that now it's a little more balanced, where we aren't as heavily relying on donations, just because those are taking a toll, you know, in the community. Both Wayne and Holmes, I think donations are down considerably of what it was 5 years ago. And that's where I think we need to always be strategizing and looking at the long-term plan on sustainability.
And you guys aren't just here with your free clinic with people who know a little bit about medicine. These are fully just as good as going to any other medical care facility. Doctors, nurses.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dentists.
You know, that's, I take pride in the providers who work here, and I've actually handpicked probably about 90% of them. Our medical director here is Dr. Kristen Wanger. She's been in the community for quite some time, and she sees patients throughout the week as well. And then we have quite a few nurse practitioners who are actually from the Holmes County area. Jessica Franklin grew up in Holmes County. Zeb Beam is one of our nurse practitioners who's from Holmesville. And a lot of our providers that we have here, well, mainly all of our providers here are local, and they're trained, they're quality providers, and really we give top-notch care to everyone, because that's one of our mottos that we abide by, is that it doesn't matter if you're a millionaire or you make no money, you're going to get the same quality care services regardless.
And that's probably one of the first misconceptions we should have hit, is a lot of times people associate free things with a lesser quality, and it's not here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I've had patients come in and be like, wow, I was shocked. This was better service than I've received anywhere else. I was a little bit hesitant to come here, but, you know, this blew me away what you guys are doing here. So,
well, I think a lot of times working in this kind of environment, it takes people who really understand all of the situations that the people are coming from and can connect. And that's the great thing about having local staff. Everybody understands where everybody's coming from.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Well, we've got more to learn about here with the Viola Startzman Clinic. They have a lot to offer. And I am chatting with Mark Yoder, the executive director of the clinic. And I am Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. We are returning here with executive director Mark Yoder of the Viola Startzman Clinic. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. And one of the services that you guys have been providing in Holmes County is you've had a community health worker coming into the area. And let's talk a little bit about that. That's a great thing that you guys are doing.
Yeah, so this was a newer initiative. You know, it has been going on, I think, since the beginning of 2025, where we worked together with the Mental Health and Recovery Board about starting a community health worker program. So what community health workers are they are trained individuals. They get their training, and they are actually trained through the Ohio Board of Nursing. And what these individuals do is their goal is to connect patients in need to different resources. So whether that's food security, housing security, dealing with homelessness, dealing with insurance navigation, or dealing also like with the healthcare realm. You know, where is my insurance taken, or where can I get services for dental, for mental health, for counseling, for primary care services. So their goal is to be out there in the community and meeting individuals where they are and directing them the services. How this actually started in Holmes County, we were being frequently called down to help out with different patients who were in the area who were suffering with homelessness or lack of insurance, or they needed mental health care. And we were contacted by the owners of Broken Grounds and about helping out with some of these patients. And I was like, okay, well, we need to get a little bit more of a formal setup here. And that was where we now have, you know, community health workers that will go into the Holmes County area specifically multiple times a week. We also have one community health worker in particular who is in the Holmes County area and is also an LPN, so she's able to help with medications for some of our mental health patients that requires a once a month injection. She's able to go meet them where they're at and help them with their injection as well too. So it's kind of a little bit of everything, but it's a great resource to have in the community as well.
That's very handy that she has those qualifications, so that way it's truly a one-stop kind of find them help, yeah, kind of opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're definitely grateful to the Mental Health and Recovery Board of Wayne and Holmes County to help us with this initiative, because a lot of times, you know, these individuals, it's not, you know, it's not reimbursed by insurances. It truly is something that has to be funded by the community once they see the value of what these individuals bring to the community.
And sometimes they just need that little assistance, that little help up to get back into focus.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that is a few times a week that you have somebody coming down and
So it kind of varies. So really we have 5 community health workers right now who are working for our organization, and kind of depending on the needs or what's going on, you know, there may be 1 or 2 coming down multiple times per week to Holmes County versus, you know, their role is really being out there in the community helping navigate the healthcare world.
So they're just going all over
the area,
traveling around the county.
Yep, I thought about at some point we probably need a designated vehicle. So if anyone's in the mood to have a tax write-off and donate a vehicle to the clinic for this initiative, that would be great.
There's always the possibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, and that helps get the name out and everything. Yeah, yeah. So you guys are really, really growing in your services and what you're offering. You kind of pointed that out in the beginning. And it kind of, to me, just from chatting with you a bit, seems like it's just going to continue to grow. The need is going to continue to grow, and you guys are going to continue to adjust with it. You seem to really be taking those rebounds as they are aiming at you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, to help with our growth and whatnot, we definitely need the support of the community. We recently did open a fund with the Holmes County Education and Community Foundation specific to our Holmes County patients. So there is a fund there that's available that Holmes County residents can donate to, and that helps go directly to patients located in Holmes County to receive the care that they need.
So if anybody's ever concerned, well, the money I'm donating is just going to go to another county, using that fund at the foundation, the Holmes County Foundation, keeps it to Holmes County people.
Absolutely. Yep. That's what keeps it to Holmes County. And, you know, the community members from Holmes County can be rest assured that it's going to Holmes County residents for their care.
Because you guys don't take a lot of information, but you do get the location of where people are from. And
So we do a lot of our trends and our analysis through zip codes. You know, basically when any of our patients are seen, you have to provide your name, your address, which has your zip code in it as well. And that's how we're able to track what counties we're serving.
And we kind of mentioned it, you were just Wayne and Holmes County, and now you've opened it up, so if somebody really needs care, you guys are there for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, a prime example of this too is we were looking at our zip codes of all the counties that we serve, and actually, so primarily, you know, our number one zip code is the Wayne County zip codes, and then number 2 is Holmes County, but then Stark County was actually number 3, and a lot of this is from our mental health services that we provide, where we do telehealth services as well. You know, it's pretty easy to just roll out of bed and flip on your phone and see your provider that way when it's a telehealth visit. So that's been really successful in helping us also provide outreach outside of the counties.
So telehealth, just another thing we're learning that you guys provide.
Yeah, telehealth services. So it's pretty easy peasy. And, you know, really, we see that a lot of our mental health patients actually prefer to do their follow-ups via telehealth just because it doesn't interfere. You don't have to miss work. You don't have to, make a big...
And some of them don't drive.
Yeah, lack of transportation is a huge issue in the county, especially being so rural. And that helps eliminate that barrier as well.
So you guys are just breaking barriers.
Yeah, breaking barriers. And another thing I really like to bring up, we recently partnered with Heidi's Pharmacy, where they're actually going to be moving into our dental building in Worcester. And what they do for our patients and the communities of Wayne and Holmes is they do free pre-packaging of medications and delivery of medications too. Because a lot of times patients have difficulty when you're on multiple meds, how hard is it to take 3 pills in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, stuff like that. So that's where, the pre-packaging of meds and then also delivering the meds right to the patient's house has been extremely beneficial with this partnership with the patients that we see.
Well, let's talk more about the pharmacy services in our next segment. We're going to take a little break here. That's Mark Yoder, the Executive Director of the Viola Startzman Clinic. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM on Focus Fridays. This is Melissa Patrick with Focus Fridays on WKLM. I am joined here today with the Executive Director of the Viola Startzman Clinic, Mark Yoder, and we've been learning all about the clinic and what it does. And in the last segment, you brought up the pharmacy and your partnership with Heidi's Pharmacy.
Yes. So Heidi's Pharmacy, Heidi, who's the owner, who's also a pharmacist, she's also our volunteer pharmacist here at the clinic, has really helped grow our charitable pharmacy that we have. So what's unique about us is we are known as a drug repository. So we can take donated medications from the community, and then the pharmacist, Heidi, is able to come in, look at these medications, verify they are what they are, and then we're able to give them out for free to the community as well. And this has saved patients literally thousands of dollars. In 2025, we had a rough estimate of providing over $900,000 in free medications to the community.
Crazy.
And it was shocking to me, and that's where one of the things to help grow that partnership, we had extra space in our dental building that she is going to move in there in a couple months with her pharmacy. And she's just a great resource to have, a great partnership. She helps with medication compliance by answering patients' questions and by also helping with free pre-packaging of medications and delivery of medications too. Because a lot of times, transportation, patients can't get out, drive to the pharmacy, and she delivers them. She has delivery drivers that take them right to your door and just helps with better access to care and access to medications.
That's great for maybe elderly patients or some of those mental health patients that don't drive, that there's not an excuse for not being able to have your medication. You can get discounted to free medication here and get it delivered to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, medication compliance is a big factor too. There are a lot of times where I have patients following up with their diabetes or their blood pressure, and their blood pressure's through the roof, or their blood sugars are through the roof. And I ask them, well, have you been taking your medicine? They're like, no, I forgot. And that's where truly, if you're on more than 3 medications, you just need to have your medications prepackaged. It just makes it easier. It shows when to take it, morning, afternoon, evening. And we've really seen improvements in patient outcomes by encouraging medication prepackaging and delivery, just because it makes it easier. It saves you time and it helps with patient compliance.
Yeah, the little pill boxes only work if you remember to refill them.
Yep, absolutely.
And so you said that you can take donations of medication. So say grandma or grandpa passes away, they have medication that wasn't used, you guys can take that?
Yeah, so we're able, you just drop those off, fill out a paper, and we're able to get those in and reprocess them. And another, big example of some medications that have saved patients thousands, we recently had about 50 IUDs, which is a form of birth control, that was donated to us. And those typically cost anywhere between $1,500 to $2,000 per device. And because it is technically a medication, those were able to give out completely free, no questions asked. And same with even some of the mental health medications. We see a lot of patients who are on some old school medications because they're cheap. Well, that's great, but
also may not be the best thing for you.
Yeah, may not be the best. Maybe you get brain fog with it or weight gain with it, stuff like that. And we're able to then say, well, hey, let's get you a better quality medication with less side effects and who cares if it's $1,000 a month if we have, you know, a supply of donated meds or donated mental health injections or stuff like that that's going to help you achieve your goals.
And that's what a lot of folks, whether you upgrade your medication to a new amount or whatever, it's always, well, what do I do with this?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great way to be able to use it to help people.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. It's just fantastic because it's just another way, you know, not everyone can donate. And it's but there are ways that people can still help out with our organization. You know, there's donations, there's donating your leftover medications, there's also volunteer opportunities here as well. And you don't have to be a medical provider or medical to volunteer here. You know, there are simple things that take up a lot of our costs and time and efforts, even as simple as going out and cleaning up sticks, leaves, and, you know, helping with some of the organizational stuff that a lot of people don't know takes up a lot of our efforts just to maintain and run an organization of our size.
Now, if somebody does want to donate medication, what do they have to do? Do they have to keep their name on the bottles, and the label, like what's in it? Where do they bring it? How does that work?
Yep, so you'll want to make sure that it's as unaltered as possible. So in the medication bottle that it comes in, you know, typically the yellow bottle or something like that, and you just bring it in with the person's name on it, all that good stuff. A lot of people will bring it in like a Walmart bag, something like that. And we've had people bring in like 50 bottles at a time, you know, which it's a little overwhelming. But basically then we log what the medications are and we have the person sign off that they are donating the medication to us, to our donation, our repository, and then that's it. And it is, so our donations, our donated meds are only accepted at the medical office. So 1739 Cleveland Road in Worcester. So we have had sometimes people want to drop them off at the satellite and we just don't have the staffing, and our pharmacy is directly on site at the medical building. So
the less hands it's going through.
Yep.
But that's also a great way to keep unused medication out of hands of people who aren't prescribed it.
Yeah, yeah. And even safety, you know,
kids,
you know, you don't want them
getting into meds. Unprescribed is a way to cover all of it.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So it definitely helps from all aspects there.
And if somebody wants to volunteer their time, they can say something at any of the locations.
Yeah, yeah. Really, you know, reach out, stop in. We have a volunteer application, and we're always looking for volunteers to help in any way possible. You know, we have someone who actually volunteers to take off our cardboard to recycling, you know, and this was something that actually has been incredibly helpful to us. You know, simple tasks like that are even...
You don't realize those little things.
Yeah,
take so much time until you don't have to do them anymore.
Yep, absolutely. So definitely we're appreciative of our volunteers and even our volunteer physicians too. So Dr. Siebel, he volunteers once a week at our Worcester location to help with skin lesion removals, office procedures. We also have a dermatologist, Dr. Kuffner, who volunteers at our location as well. And then we have a physical therapist, Chet, who volunteers once a week to help with our patients.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and a lot of volunteer dentists too. That's one of our big needs. So if there are any dentists listening, we are more than happy to have you volunteer because we are quite booked out in the dental realm, and we're really appreciative of the volunteer dentists that we do currently have, but we're always looking at more dental coverage.
Dental seems to be something that a lot of people need, and a lot of times people don't realize how much that affects your physical health
mm-hmm.
if your teeth aren't in good health.
Yeah, there are actually quite a few studies that are out there that poor dentition, you know, leads to shorter lifespan and more chronic conditions as well too. So even making sure that you're getting your routine dental exams, dental cleanings is very important. And yeah, so it's always a big push is to make sure that we're doing preventative dental care.
All right, well, we've got just one more time here to chat, and we'll kind of wrap things up on the Viola Startsman Clinic. That is Mark Yoder, the Executive Director. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. We are here one last time with Mark Yoder, the Executive Director of the Viola Startsman Clinic, and I don't know about all of you guys listening, but I have learned a lot of information today, and really just the expansive amount of services that the clinic is really offering now. It's gone from a very simple free clinic to full service, essentially, with everything that folks need. And so how can folks, I guess the big question is, we've talked about all the services you've offered. How do folks take advantage of those services?
Yeah, so we have a couple different options. The easiest is just calling us directly, so 330-262-2500, and getting through to our front desk and telling them what you're looking for, whether or not it's getting scheduled for our dental clinic, getting scheduled for a medical office visit, or getting scheduled for a mental health visit. So that's our easiest, is just calling in and looking to get scheduled that way. Or also, we do have our website at startsmanclinic.org, where you can fill out an online inquiry, submit it, and then it goes to our email box that we're able to check daily, and then we can call you directly to get you scheduled as well. So that's one of our easiest ways to, or also we do have people stopping in the old school way of things. They just drop in and say, hey, hi. I'm looking to get scheduled for this. Can you help me out? And, you know, so we do have patients who also do that as well.
And you had mentioned that you do telehealth. Do you require like the first visit to be in person, or can they start out with telehealth? How do those work?
Typically, it is better to have the first visit in person, especially for mental health. It's just better to have that first in-person visit and then have your follow-ups via telehealth. It's just a better, more comprehensive exam if you're able to physically be seen in office and in person. So we do encourage that.
And so they can get services no matter the income. Mm-hmm. You can use your insurance. You encourage use of insurance.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes it's frustrating. You can't get into your provider. Contact here. You might be able to get in here a lot quicker.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we often have people asking, you know, what are ways that we can give back, and what are ways that we can do to support your clinic and what you're doing? And, you know, there are just a multitude of ways, whether it's volunteering, whether it's getting seen here with your insurance, whether it's, you know, helping get the word out about what we do, and, you know, or whether it's attending, you know, some of our events or donating directly towards our initiatives. We have that on our website, or we also have envelopes in the office where people can stop by. But then also we have our once a year fun event where it's a fun night out, and it's a good event where our annual gala that we're having this year on August 7th, which is supporting mental health and community care, and those tickets can help support our initiatives as well too. So there are a multitude of ways that all different types of people can support our clinic and what we do.
Utilize, support, take full advantage. So this gala you've mentioned, what can people expect for the night when they get there? Is there a meal? What all comes with the ticket?
Yeah, so this year we're doing things a little bit differently. So this year our tickets are coming, you get a dinner, it includes two drink tickets, and then our entertainment too, which we have a live auction. We're going to have some raffle items, a silent auction as well, and it's just a really fun time out. You know, I'm one of those individuals that I've been to a lot of these dinners, these galas, and I don't like someone talking at you for an hour straight or an hour and a half. I like to go and socialize, and, you know, so my motto is, especially for an event like this, kind of keep that portion of things short and sweet, talk about what we're doing, but I like to keep it short and sweet so that the main part is, you know, getting together and socializing and really having a good time to help support the clinic in that aspect.
And is it a formal event or semi-formal?
I would say semi-formal. It is at Greystone, and it's a lot of
it's
people
dress.
Yeah, it's a definitely good venue.
Location.
Great location, and it's just a good time to get dressed up and have a good night out.
Good meal.
Yeah, fantastic meal. And
Greystone caters for you.
Yes,
and their food
cater
is excellent.
Absolutely. We've been very impressed with their services and their food options and their support of our clinic as well.
That is fabulous. So they can get tickets online?
Yeah, so online at our website. It's under events. You can sign up for tickets that way, or you can stop into, you know, there are different table sponsorship levels. So for some of our businesses out there that want to support us and buy a table, there are different sponsorship levels that get recognized. And like I said, last year we had over 300 people attend. So getting the word out that way.
Take your employees out for a fun night.
Yeah, absolutely. Sponsor a table. Tell them that you have
a fun
night for them. Here you go. And go that route.
One of the biggest things in Holmes County is community helping community, and you are part of the community, and so you help the community, and the community can help you guys as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's our goal.
And any last thoughts before we wrap up our time together here today?
No, I'm just really appreciative of you taking the time and learning about what we do and some of our new initiatives that we're doing as well.
You guys are growing faster than my weeds, and that's saying something.
Yes, that's for sure. Well, thank you so much for having me.
And thank you so much. We appreciated you joining with us and teaching us so much today.
That was the executive director of the Viola Startsman Clinic, Mark Yoder. For WKLM's Focus Fridays, I'm Melissa Patrick. Focus Fridays has been brought to you by Hobrins Insurance, Holmes Siding, Rohde's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. Don't forget to catch Focus Fridays each Friday in the 9 a.m. hour. If you happen to miss Focus Fridays, you can go to the website, WKLMFM.com, and click on the Focus Friday icon and then on the episode that you missed from there. So make sure to tune in each Friday in the 9 a.m. hour for Focus Fridays here on WKLM.